Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology on Blog Talk Radio. Three astrologers who get together each week to look at what's going on in the sky and reflect on how that reflects on us. And this is Mark Waltz saying hello to you from New York City. And I'm joined by
Ann Ortley, also in New York City at my bright red desk, and it's 79 degrees here on the Upper East Side of Manhattan.
Wonderful.
I think it's warmer on the west side.
And this is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota, where it is quite, it's in the 80s tonight, but that's a vast improvement over how hot and muggy it has been. We've had one thunderstorm after the other in the last couple of days. So we're enjoying a beautiful evening for a change, which is helpful because the energy is so rather staticky as Mercury holds still, opposed Neptune and the Moon in Virgo tonight.
Yes, we have Mercury stationing.
And stopped dead in the sky. Dead. Yep.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that little planet Mercury.
Yep.
Looks like as we watch it from night to night, suddenly it hasn't moved in the, I guess, the background of the zodiac. And we call that a station. It comes to a station, changes direction. So it's been going forward, which is its usual motion. And now it has stopped, it's turning around to go backward. And it will go back into Leo. And it'll be going backward for 3 weeks, which is what it usually does, and then it'll station to come forward. So with this station, though, it's opposite to the planet Neptune. And Mercury-Neptune things bring up a lot of stuff. Heather, you were saying you noticed something.
Yeah, well the Mercury-Neptune opposition in Mercury has just gone into its own sign of Virgo and is just opposed Neptune. And I'm seeing so much confusion. My cell phone just collected enough water from the air that it killed some of the circuits in it. I had to replace it today. That's water damage to electricity, which I'm seeing a whole series of issues around. The confused messages and sort of spacey thinking and irritable because they're spacey, that also I'm feeling in the environment. But here in town we had a clear news story that five different people drowned around the Twin Cities, in various different lakes, all completely unrelated incidents, and most of them were, you know, questionable decisions where someone jumped off a pontoon where people always jump off, but they never came back up, so something happened when they jumped off. Or someone was swimming from one boat to another, easy swim, but suddenly had trouble halfway to the boat. Like odd things that can't quite trace down what it was that suddenly caused them to drown. But several of them were jumping off into murky water and not coming back up.
Right. And I had a student today who, she'd been in her summer house, and the owner was very drunk and fell on her face and broke her nose. And so we were looking at it in her chart, you know, where it was in the chart. And it was like, okay, see here, the Mercury-Neptune opposition? You know, she fell off her face, dead, you know, just tipped over and broke her nose. Yeah.
Right.
With the Neptune influence.
I was looking at that as a metaphor for where in my life are the waters murky? And if they are murky, how can I not jump off into them?
Right.
Without looking where I'm going.
Right.
And isn't that exactly what we're doing with it? You know, the waters are very murky around the budget right now, and we are jumping off into this without seeing clearly what's becoming of it, except that it's a bit of a mess.
Right.
So the aspects right now are confusing. They're lovely if we're not trying to do anything in particular.
Yeah, if you're on vacation,
they're
good.
Accomplish something. That it becomes a problem.
Right.
Yeah, and if you're on vacation, it really, I guess we should all take the warning with any kind of water sports.
Yeah.
With the Mercury opposite.
Just go carefully.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that happens this week is Mars into Cancer, you know, is getting a little bit further along. So what that's going to do is give us a whole kind of a new energy, because every time Mars moves, we have this every time the moon moves, Mars changes his emotional state. So we kind of find with that there's a real interesting time-space continuum when he moves into Cancer, which happens in another day or so. He then is answering to the moon's moods and very much changes every couple of days what his emotional state is. And we're used to Mars, not always, but people who live with Mars and Cancer are used to this. But most of us are pretty comfortable with Mars not being as changeable. It kind of holds the energy. You know, he's a fixed, you know, he's a masculine principle. He's the go out and get it, you know, hunt him down guy. And so when he's in a changeable sign, you know, when he changes every day, every couple of days as the moon changes, it's kind of like, oh, wow, how are you doing over there? Oh, today I'm crabby. Today I'm strong and bold. You know, it's so being aware of the fact that we're all going to be having emotional responses because Mars is in an emotional sign and he is our responding planet is also helpful. So we'll see. It's all
and
we're all having this whole new and exciting thing.
Cancer, he heads into he starts running that tough gamut. As he moves into Cancer, he will square Uranus, oppose Pluto, and then square Saturn.
Right.
And that's not an easy place to run. And it's going to be a very sparky time.
Yeah.
It's always interesting when you run Mars through something like that because it's kind of like running an obstacle course, and Mars kind of likes that, you know, it's a challenge, and the trick is to keep moving, and Mars is good at that, so we'll see, but it means having to be a little agile with your desire nature, your, whatever it is that you want, the things that you want to go after, they'll be stirred up. They'll be emotional, and they'll be on the move.
Mm-hmm.
And it's best to let them be on the move. Don't try to sit on stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. If you feel like doing something, go ahead and do it. Take the action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But just know
and
that
do it
you're,
while you've
you're
got the...
running into the big guys.
Right. And I would say to do it, you know, if you wait too long, it can become compulsive. But if you do it in plenty of time, then there's a little bit more room to be thoughtful while you take the action instead of compulsive.
Right.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so keep the momentum going. Don't get bogged down.
Yeah. And also Mercury being in Virgo now, he's kind of parked at zero Virgo opposite Uranus, or opposite rather Neptune. And Neptune changes signs this week. He goes back into Aquarius, and he had gone into Pisces when the tsunami hit Japan after the earthquake. So he now goes back into Aquarius to wrap up stuff. So I was looking when he first went into Aquarius, which was in November of 1998. And if you think about all the changes that Neptune has wrought in the fields of communication, you know, because he was in the sign of airwaves then, you know, we all have internets now, we all have websites, you know, we Google, we can't imagine life without our cell phone. But really, in 1998, very few people had cell phones. They were just starting to hit. Nobody had iPads, much less all the different ways of communicating. So we can anticipate he's going back in to kind of clear up this energy for a few months. But then Neptune's going to be in Pisces. And I was just thinking about all the changes that he brought when he was in Aquarius. So this should be a really monumental time when he's in Pisces for the next 14 years, which he goes back into in February. And we're getting the hint of it now, as he's opposed to Mercury. He's giving us a little an idea of it. And I think it's the technicalities and the details, certainly in the bill that got passed by Congress.
Neptune in,
pardon?
I said you would say that in the Neptune. I think that it's a lot of magical thinking, too, whereas me with Neptune and Pisces.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty of it is reconnecting with mysticism, reconnecting with spiritual connection, and I think that sense of oneness, which the internet gives us a technical version of it, but what's our spiritual and intuitive version?
Mm-hmm.
I think some beautiful things about bringing back our vision again and creativity, I hope, to the art world. But I'm a little, and a sense of compassion, because Neptune and Pisces can be very compassionate. I'm a little worried about the magical thinking. And I certainly see that in our approach to the budget problems. And I feel like that after buying a car last week, what we had to when our car blew up.
Mm-hmm.
But the approach to magical thinking, can we magical thinking in the best of sense of being able to vision it
mm-hmm.
versus magical thinking
mm-hmm.
in the worst of sense? I'm also seeing it in not only problems with the, you know, that in the next 14 years with, while Neptune's in Pisces, we're going to see that, you know, water rights, water problems, flooding and drought. Since Neptune has been in Pisces, the droughts have become extreme.
Mm-hmm.
So have the floods, the ecological effect of too much water in one place and too little water in another has...
I'll be right back. I'm going to be off for a second, okay?
Okay. Has become extreme.
Yeah. We should see a little reprieve in that as Neptune goes back into Aquarius retrograde
mm-hmm.
for a little
while. And it
while
may
now.
Be wonderful to a chance to bring up and look at how we have created that sense of community and connection through Facebook, which feels very much like Neptune and Aquarius, you know, creating
mm-hmm.
a community of like thoughts that we flow together with. You know, Facebook and all of the social networking sites were just not thought of before Neptune went into Pisces. All of the ways that we created kind of where technical equipment mirrors our intuitive approach and of connection and
yes.
gives us a practical way of making it so. So
yeah,
the interesting
that's very true.
When it goes back.
Yeah. Yeah,
but,
so we get this little last bit of Neptune in Aquarius that wraps up that the whole time that it's been there, and then we'll see it in Pisces for, what is it, 14 years?
Yes.
Yep.
So today, and you know, we've got the Sun and Venus both in Leo right now, very creative and... You know, people need to be seen and appreciated and heard. With that Mercury opposed Neptune, you know, one of the things I was mentioning is that it's a really good time to daydream. We had a planning committee meeting for our local NCGR chapter, and we just took a look at the transits yesterday and said, this is a visioning meeting. This is not a planning meeting. We can vision now, plan later. And I think that that's, you know, if we can think of that also while this Mercury-Neptune opposition is on, to dream what we want to do and follow through on the details later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we can't really follow on the details yet because it's also not really clear. But I also think last week when that Mercury opposed Neptune, there was a stimulation of the dream that we're going to be working with when Mars is in Virgo for 8 months starting in November. So it kind of got us a little... Oh, this is what we have to do? You know, really? This is it? Got it. And so whatever came in last week is the area that we're going to be working with and trying to get clear on as we go forward. And I think that's, you know, we don't know yet what it is, but we got a sneak preview last week about the theme. And then as the Sun goes into Virgo at the end of this month, he will set off the second theme. So I apologize for having to leave. I had... 3 cats fighting underneath my desk. You know, I went out for, I had a class tonight, came home, got on the phone with you guys, didn't feed them. And I remember being a little child and like having a fight upstairs with my mother. They had parties and stuff, and my mother coming up and yelling at us and spanking us and stuff. And I just felt like that. I thought, well, no, this is really because they're hungry. It's not like they don't have food in the bowl, and it's not like these cats are starving. They have dry food, but it's not the same as wet. So it was like cat fights under my desk. I'm like, I can't have this, guys. No fighting under my desk.
They got your attention.
They got my attention, and they got rewarded with food, although I did yell at Handsome because I was like, you have to stop this. He was like, meow, I want my food. So that's also Mars and Gemini fights with the siblings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even though they're, you know.
Yeah.
So I apologize. But, yeah, it's understanding Mars in Gemini does want to fight with the siblings, and he's also out of bounds right now. So he's not following the rules. He's way out of control.
He's out of bounds again for our...
That means he's, you know, he's gone. There's a path that the Sun follows, and when Mars goes past that path and exceeds it, either on the top or the bottom of the chart. In this case, he's at the top. He's at the Tropic of Cancer, and he's going higher than the sun travels. What it acts like is a wild basketball or a ball like a baseball. When you hit a baseball out of bounds, it can be a home run or it can be a foul ball. When it goes out in a basketball game, it can be, you know, it can call a timeout or a ball change, and basically you need the referee, and the game then plays. But it means he also doesn't follow the rules. He's acting like a bit of an outlaw, and we did see that with Congress, with the small group holding up the legislation and going, no, we're not going to play, you know, kind of taking their ball and going home with it or refusing to vote for things. So it's understanding that there's this not playing by the traditional rules thing going on right now, where people don't want to play by the rules. They want to kind of be an outlaw and do their version of how they want things to happen, as opposed to, you know, what the accepted conventions are. So, But yes, Mars is out of bounds till mid-month, so people are going to be behaving however they want, and then saying, "But I want to do it," and you're going to go like, "No, you can't. You got to stop now." So, you got to stop fighting under my desk, guys.
Heading into Cancer is just so defensive.
Yeah.
And that if we can remember that Mars in Cancer is considered defensive genius. You know, if you want to elect a general to defend your country when it's being invaded, that's who to go with.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not happening, it's a little difficult.
Right.
So, but if you can see that when people start getting hostile or defensive, that what they need is to have their safety reassured.
Right.
And rather than respond to play dueling defenses, but try to create a little bit more safety rather than withhold or test or get difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if our countries can do the same thing in the process.
Right. Yeah. And we're also coming up fast on our eighth Saturn return, third pass. It happens at the end of the month as a country. We have a Saturn return similar to anybody that's over 28 or 58 has had one or two.
Growing up one more step.
We're growing up one more step. And we're having ours. We're having one this month. So we're fast approaching 14 Libra, which is where the degree of our Saturn in the Sibley chart. And we're going to be supposedly a little wiser. At least that's the premise, you know. A little bit older, a little bit wiser. So we really, it's an interesting
very
time.
Very difficult right before your Saturn return, as all of us who've been through them remember, that, you know, you grow that wisdom by working through the struggles as it's approaching.
Right.
And so the struggles that the country's been going through in its Saturn return, really asking itself to grow up and to tighten the belt and to take the next level of its personal authority in a good way.
Yeah. Well, can't just run those credit cards up and expect mom and dad to pay them anymore. We are mom and dad now, you know, that we have to pay our own credit card bills or our country's credit card bills. But it's an interesting time, and I think what I like about it is that sense of, summer, play, have a good time. The sun's in Leo. Venus has joined Leo, so she's happy. You know, I have really delicious Jersey tomatoes, which are these wonderful tomatoes that happen here on the East Coast, for those of you who don't live here. And, you know, it's like, summer, watermelon, Jersey tomatoes. How does it get better than that? So it's a good thing. So let me give out the number and see if we have anybody.
Have people on our call tonight?
We don't yet, I don't think, but we do. We actually have a couple people. And our number is 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881. So we will try the 631 number. Hi, 631. How are you? You there?
Hi. How are you, Ann?
Good. Good. Did you have a question for us?
Yeah. I'm very worried about my son. He seems to be extremely off track.
First, can you give us his birth information?
September 6th, 1988, 5:35 a.m., Bayshore, New York.
Okay. And so keep going. He's off September 6th, 88, 5:35 in the morning.
Yes.
Okay. then you're feeling like he's way off track and he's really getting hammered right now. He's having his Saturn return.
Oh, really?
Speaking of
1988.
No, I was looking at the wrong. Sorry, I'm sorry.
Okay.
You just had Saturn get off his Mercury.
He does have Saturn opposing, squaring his Venus and his and Moon.
Mm-hmm.
He has.
It's on his Mars. Yeah.
Right. Coming up, heading up towards his Mars and Saturn, doing a whole series of things. He's got a strong T square. He's got so many fighting experiences in his own chart. Natally, he's got what we call a grand square, which can really be a powerful engine to drive you forward if you know how to work with it. But it can sort of act like an implosion. It's kind of hard to get it timed right, moving in the right direction, because it can be conflicting feelings. So how do you see him being off track right now?
Nothing is good enough for him. You know, he thinks he's going to be this big music producer and, you know,
very ambitious.
But he doesn't want to do anything else. You know, he's going to be 23 years old and, you know, he'll get a job and then 2 weeks later he doesn't have that job anymore and, you know, it's like he's just floating around. And the only thing that's in his head is, I'm going to be this big music producer.
Has he gone into music? Has he gone into school for music therapy?
No.
I mean, for music production?
He seems very unmotivated. It's like he just holds that dream and...
Okay, so I look at
your chart. He seems to have become very rebellious, too.
Right. Oh, he does. Mars and Aries, you can't tell him what to do. The last thing you can do is give him advice. What I'm going to ask you, the trouble here, it looks to me, there's some really beautiful things about his chart. He could be quite talented and be good at music production if he gets moving in the right direction. What it looks to be a problem, though, with his Moon conjunct Venus in the 11th house, is his mom is a very good friend to him. And sometimes you might enable his condition.
I honestly did. And I'm regretting
that. And that you're so nice to him that it demotivates him. And it may be important for you, because he's a lot more insecure than he lets on. And so much he's got one side of him that's Mars and Aries. He's out there to kick butt, get stuff done, Jupiter at the top of the chart. He goes, I can do anything. And the other side of him goes, I can do nothing. And he's scared he's got a Sun South Node conjunction in the first house, that he's really insecure. On the other side, he's really arrogant and thinks he can do anything. And so he's always judging himself by what he could be doing and making it and being hard on himself. If he can have little experiences of success, it starts to grow him. And you can, you know, if you cannot tell him, feed into his fear, or support him, I would say that one of what I see happening here is if you can say, I believe in you, I know you can do it. But for anybody, it takes experience and schooling. So how are you going to get yourself ready for that? If you're stepping towards a practical approach, like if you're going to take yourself back to school to study music production, or you're working your way up in a music studio, I can help you out. But if you're spacing out and not doing anything, or you are getting a job in something that's not related to this job and then hating it because it's not this job, I can't help you anymore. I can't.
Well, that's kind of what
because
I've done.
I don't
actually,
feel
like,
good about
pulled
it.
Away.
Mm-hmm. And what is his reaction?
Anger.
I believe in you. I know
bother.
You can do it.
Right.
And I will support you if you're heading in a healthy direction.
Well, that's kind of, you know, I've enabled him, like you said. I have enabled him. And the only time he visits me, calls me, is when he needs money. He's run back. His father came back in the picture, who wanted nothing to do with him for almost 14 years now. His father's really not a good person at all, and I'm not just saying that. He's really not a good person. And he's also an alcoholic, and now all of a sudden my son's all over him, and I see taking on a lot of his traits, and it's just kind of scary.
And I think he's going to rebel against him too, but he may have to be disillusioned by him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I think when you're, you've got him, he's also got Saturn going through the second house. So
yeah.
I think your posture on with the Mercury opposite the Mars, if you tell him anything, he's going to argue with you.
Yeah.
So you're better just saying, and you are, if you just say, I can't pay your rent anymore, I'm not, because you're that alone will help. And he's not gone forever, but he may go away for a while, like about, 6 months to a year while he's mad at you with Saturn squaring your moon, his moon in Venus, when you stop paying for him. But
mm-hmm.
it also is he in school for anything, or did he go to college for anything, or is he?
No.
And he's not working?
No.
He's
going for a job tomorrow, but it's nothing that he really wants to do. I could see this is going to be another month-long thing.
It looks so important that he goes back and gets some more training to build up his confidence. I believe in you. I know you can do it, but anybody could use some extra schooling here. I would like to help you if you are doing something that will take you in a good direction. That's all I can say is that you can really hold on that. But he needs to feel that you believe in him, but not feel that you're going to support him if he's not stepping in a good way.
And actually,
those
two positions line up very well if you play them very firmly, that you believe in someone and you want to see concrete plans and steps.
Right, it's called supportive encouragement, where you encourage him gently, but you don't actually pay for anything. You cheer him on, you go to the stuff he's able to put together. And, he actually does have points that indicate he could do this for a living. So that part, you have to let kids have their dream, too. And if this has been his dream forever, you don't want to say you can't have it as your dream. But it also, we have a culture now that says, you just go on American Idol and you're famous, or you just wave your hand and you get this without actually having to work. And he does have the Sun in the South node, so there's a part of him that goes, well, I want this, so I should get it. There's a little bit of magical thinking in his thinking because he has the North Node in Pisces. So
and Neptune square Mars.
And Neptune square Mars, right. So you have to let him not have it work out and get there himself. I don't think his dad will be around that much longer, because once his father doesn't pay for him, they'll break up again.
Yeah,
and he did lose his dad when he was 14, so that's also part of him reconnecting with his father.
But his father left when he was 7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We've been apart that long, and wanted nothing to do with him.
Right.
Wanted nothing to do with him at all. And now Big Shot's back in the picture again, for whatever reason.
It can be very healing for him to know his father, even if he chooses to back off his father. It will be him choosing away from his father instead of his father pulling away from him. And
to make that decision will bring a lot of clarity and centering for him.
Mm-hmm. And he'll get that in about, he'll get that either now this fall, or he'll get it next springtime when Saturn's on the moon.
Right.
Yeah.
But it'll be best for him to get that and not for you.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't tell him.
My son is Mr.
Again, you can ask him to invest in his dream. Is it okay if you want to be a music producer? Invest in your dream with your time. Go work on that. Work towards it. But in the meanwhile, you have to take really good care of yourself, because he feels you, and he needs you to not feel guilty that you're worried so much, because all that'll do is make him pull away.
Well,
he loves you. He needs you in his life. And if you're
very
taking
important
care of yourself and getting healthy and keeping centered and focused and on track without him, it'll be easier for him to stay tuned into you.
yeah, I think, you know, right now it's a really hard time. But I think once Saturn gets off his Mars and he gets a little speed going and it's in the second house, he actually should start to have some small successes with this. And when Saturn squares the moon at 21, Cancer, you know, watch for that, because that'll be when your tension relationship with him shifts a bit and it isn't so tense,
mm-hmm.
which will be helpful. And with Uranus stationing, you know, he's got a strong vision of what he's supposed to do. And with Pluto on the Neptune, you got to let him, you know, he's got to follow his dream, even if it's not going to happen, because he has to have the experience. And I don't know that it's not going to. I mean, he's got some good aspects for working as, he's got a good ear, he's got a good sense of music, and he's got a decent feeling for what the public wants. So that part's all good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The music industry is really hard right now, but, you know, he also works well with the collective energy. So we'll see.
Well, that's what I've been telling him. I'm saying I'm not trying to take away your dream, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have to make a living in the meantime.
Right.
You know,
right.
You're going to be 23
years
old. I would
stop telling him that. The world, his rent is going to tell him that. Set your limits. Just say, that's interesting. How are you going to pay your rent?
That's what I've just recently started to do.
Yeah.
Really avoid, if you can, telling him anything. And let the world kick his butt.
Yeah.
And
that's
you kind of support him and encourage him to, like, that's interesting. It's going to be, I'm sure you'll find an ingenious way of solving that problem.
Right.
Yeah.
He doesn't live with you, right?
No.
Okay. All right. So
and
that's
we'll
good.
Be we'll be talking because whatchamacallit, I'm ready to book a session with Anne. I have to check your calendar, Anne.
Oh, okay. Great.
Good. So all the good goodies
good.
Will come out.
Yeah.
you know.
Always helpful, yeah. Yeah, no, I, you know, and you're also having stuff that you're a little depressed now, so you need to kind of take care of you, too.
It's not a good time. And,
not a good time, no.
You know, he is my world, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think I overdid it, and,
well,
you
but
know.
You love it. You can never overdo.
Right.
You can love a lot.
The,
you can always
let,
modify.
Let the guilt alone, hon. And just take care of yourself here.
Yeah.
And show him how to do
birthday,
that.
For his 21st birthday, his father got him a bottle of Jack Daniels, told him mm-hmm. to go get wasted. I mean, this is not what I want my son around.
Right.
No.
You know. And, you know, right now he thinks his father is great. I don't know if he's trying to get his love or, you know,
mm-hmm.
all that psychological great stuff.
Yeah.
Well, Anne, are we off the air?
We are off the air.
Yeah.
So we're gonna the show's over. So forward we go.
Take care.
All right. So the
Thanks
end of the show, and it goes so fast. Mark, you want to take us out?
Yeah. Sure. Thanks for listening. This is Access Astrology. You can look us up at astronyc.com. That's astronyc.com for our biographical information. Mark Waltz in New York. Also in New York is...
Anne Ortley in New York, 79 degrees at my bright red desk.
And Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from the banks of the Mississippi River in Minnesota. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Yep.